Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Current Reno temperature is 75 degrees. That red flag warning starting less than an hour from now. Julie Butler is running for Nevada Assembly District 40. That's a big swath of land east of Reno. It stretches almost to Fernley from the north. It's everything south of I-80, I believe. You go down to Lockwood, Virginia City, Washoe Valley, Washoe City, part of Lake Tahoe. Our state capital is in District 40, and Story County, and the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center. Wow, who drew up that map? If you look at it, it looks like a ridiculous anvil. Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing well. John, how are you?
Well, let's see here. You are running for the seat now held by the retiring P.K. O'Neill. Are you close to P.K.?
I am. Yeah, he was my boss and has been a mentor for many years. And I met him when I went to work for the Department of Public Safety. And I just have the utmost respect to him. He's for him. He's been a wonderful public servant. And
yes, he has.
Hoping to fill his shoes.
He's been on the show many times. Now, this race has four Republicans and one Democrat in the race, but it's a pretty Republican district. So likely the GOP primary winner will win this election. Four Republicans and one Democrat. Julie worked for state government for 30 years, including the DMV during the pandemic. Oh, my gosh. It sounds like a nightmare there.
It was. Yeah, it was. We had to close it down and then we had to figure out how to open it back up. And yeah, it was unfortunate.
You retired 2 years ago. What made you want to get back into running for the assembly and working again?
Well, I've said this before, when every day's a Saturday, it kind of loses its luster. But, you know, I really feel that I have a skill set that can be useful, and I'd like to be a voice for District 40. I feel passionate about it and this community. I've been part of Carson City for 31 years, and it's a wonderful community, and I want to be a voice for conservatism and positive change.
You say conservatism. Was there an issue or something that really pushed you into running for office?
Well, yes. Honestly, the Charlie Kirk assassination really pushed me, because what really floored me is there's, for a lot of our young people, 30% of them think that political violence is acceptable if you disagree with somebody. And I thought, my gosh, we have really gone sideways if that is the thinking of a lot of our young people today, and we have got to turn that around. And so, that's really, in a nutshell, what motivated me to get off the couch of, we need to have good people with integrity, people with Christian values that are standing up and saying, this is not acceptable. We need to do better.
Well, and alongside the violence is the way people look upon others who have different opinions. Now it used to be like, oh, well, I think you're wrong. Nowadays, if somebody has a different opinion than you, the thought is, well, you're a bad person.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got to get back to, we can agreeably disagree. And I think we've lost that, and particularly, with the social media, and it's really easy to be a keyboard warrior and, call names from a distance. It's much harder to do that, as we're sitting face to face and to call each other nasty names. But we've got to get back to dialogue and learning how to interact with one another.
Well, let's get to the top issues here. Data centers are in your district. It's USA Parkway, right?
Yes.
In
yes.
your district.
Uh-huh,
oh, my gosh.
Home. Yeah.
And I'm sure more are proposed data centers proposed in your district. What's your stance on them?
I've been asked that a lot. And yes, there are many more in the pipeline than just the ones that have already been built. And, I think we need them. You know, I don't see people putting down their phones. And, you know, with the AI race, I'd rather that those data centers are shored domestically as opposed to in foreign countries. But I do think we need some guardrails around them, you know, in terms of
conditions. I like it.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, what is the impact on the water usage? What is the impact on the power grid? We already know that NV Energy can't meet their power needs. So then what does that look like? What sort of alternative forms of energy are we looking at? And how do we power these things? And how do we be, you know, responsible stewards of the land while also meeting the needs? And so that's going to be the question.
People don't like the rubber stamp. People in Reno have this feeling that city government has this rubber stamp when it comes to developers. But there are questions that have to be answered, several when it comes to data centers. So you'll certainly ask them. I mean, you've been in state government 30 years, and I imagine after that experience, you know how to go through the avenues and get things done. How is that an attribute, your experience in state government, going to serve you?
I think very well. I do understand the budget process. I understand the purchasing process. I understand, you know, how things work in the interim session, how the agencies have to come back. You know, there's a 2-year budget cycle, but then they have to come back in the interim if that budget changes significantly and get legislative approval. You know, it isn't just a rubber stamp. I've been part of that process. I know how to navigate it. And I think a lot of new legislators come in and with these big ideas, and then they realize most of the budget is already allocated between Medicaid and prisons and education. There's very little discretionary spending. And I think that's such a huge surprise to many of them. And, you know, whereas I understand that coming in, and I think can take a little bit more focus on the areas of the budget that really consume most of the resources.
Well, Nevada Assembly is state legislature, and there's a lot of things that come up there. Nevada right to work laws are being challenged.
I know. I don't see a reason to change the right to work. I don't want to see those laws overturned. I think, I've got nothing against the unions. I think they serve a purpose, but I think it's up to them to advocate why it's in the best interest of people to join, but it should also be, you know, an individual decision, for the worker. Is that in their best interest to join? So, you know, I don't think they ought to be precluded from working just because there's a union there.
People are going around getting signatures, a lot of them, for a ballot question to limit transgender participation in school sports. Okay, what do you say about that?
I've signed that petition. And yes, I don't think transgender belong in girls' sports. We need to save girls' sports for girls.
All right, direct answer. I like it. Save America Act. You show your ID to vote.
We need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to. 100%.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous.
Did you vote in person this year?
I did.
Well, you know what? I have many questions about the whole thing where you have to sign your signature on this little tiny iPad. And you know when you do that, Julie, like you're in a restaurant, you sign on the iPad. It doesn't look at all the same as it is when you sign it on paper. But they accepted mine. And I screwed up my signature the first time, and I signed over it.
Oh, gosh.
And they said it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's so many things I think that could be tightened up there. And it just makes sense. You got to present an ID to do absolutely everything.
What's the problem?
I don't understand it either.
It simplifies things. It gets the line moving. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And it's almost insulting, like, what, some part of the population is too stupid to get an ID to go... to present it to vote. I mean, it's really insulting when you think about it that, you know, that this is such a barrier. It's not a barrier. You have to present an ID to do virtually anything we do.
All right. All right. Brought up a few things. What is the second biggest issue? You said data centers seems to be the first issue that people confront you about. What do you think is number two?
Growth.
Growth.
That's what I'm hearing when I, you know, knocking on the doors, particularly in Carson City. Everybody wants to keep the small town rural feel. They're very concerned about growth and development. And, you know, Carson, no offense to Reno, but Carson doesn't want to turn into Reno. And, you know, and it's difficult because, you know, we're also experiencing housing affordability. Prices don't come down unless you increase supply. So how do you balance those two things? But, you know, particularly the Carson residents are very concerned and want to keep Carson small.
How long have you lived in the district?
In the district, 31 years. Yeah.
I think a certain candidate for Nevada Congressional District 2 would not answer that question.
Yeah, I think
acceptably.
You're right. I think you're right.
Whereas I'm hands off on that. I let people vote,
yep,
you know,
yep,
how they want.
Exactly.
But if a certain person wins the primary and it's a red district and wins the election, we are going to end up with all the Congress people in Nevada will be Southern Nevada.
I know.
Southern Nevada.
Yeah.
If this happens, I'm not going to say anything more about it.
Yeah. I think that would be a shame.
Okay. You know. Do you have a favorite for CD2?
James Settlemyer.
Okay. All right. Julie, final minute.
Well, I'm running to be a voice, and you can learn more about me at julieFornevada.com. And my phone number is 775-230-6587. I'm eager to hear from you. I'm eager to serve and just want to be your voice. So please get out the vote on June 9th.
JulieFornevada.com was available?
Yeah, it was available. Can you imagine that?
I mean, I come to think of it, there's not a whole lot of Julies.
There aren't.
That run for office here, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, like I said, I just feel like I can make a difference and want to be a voice.
All right, so. Julie, it's been a pleasure talking. I've talked to you before, haven't I?
Yeah, we have.
Yes, yes. Julie Butler for District 40, Nevada Assembly. I really appreciate you coming out here.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Coming up, we are going to talk to a candidate who's running for CD2 for Congress coming up in minutes. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:18.
Live, local, free, FM Talk, KKFT.
Nevada Senate Bill 303 gave a driver privilege card to illegal aliens. James Settlemyer voted for that bill. An illegal drove from Carson City to Gardnerville and murdered two women. 3 days later, that same illegal drove to Reno and murdered an elderly couple in their home. That illegal drove to each murder scene with the privilege provided to him by Jim Settlemyer. Almost $1 million was allocated to the DMV to implement the program. We paid for that. Sophia Rankin, Connie Kuntz, Jerry and Sharon David paid for that with their lives. Nevada Senate Bill 538 created a woke office of new Americans that put illegal aliens above Nevadans, paid for by you and me. Jim Settlemyer voted for that bill. This election cycle, remember the persons who put your life, your family, and your friend's life at extreme risk with their vote. This message is not an ad paid for by any candidate or committee. It is not an attack ad. It simply states the facts. More to come.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's The Weekend with John Potter.
I wish I lived in the golden age.
99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
Speaking of golden age, we are coming up on America's 250th. Folks, it is less than a month away. I'm older. I'm still awfully good looking. And I could take you on. But I was alive 50 years ago when the United States celebrated its bicentennial. I was early in my career. I was working in Kentucky. I was planning my move to Reno. And I remember that was one of the most exciting years of my young life. And I was not alone. It was a hoot. In 1976, the bicentennial was a very big deal. It was a good time. The whole country was red, white, and blue. Everything was focused on this wonderful milestone. We were so proud. We were so grateful. And at every turn, there was some commemoration or celebration of our 200 years. Everything was red, white, and blue every night on TV. They had a bicentennial minute where they would tell us about some important person or some important event from our founding back in 1776. Loving America was an obvious yes, of course. We rejoiced. We revered the founders of this nation. We were proud of our country, and we were grateful to be American citizens. It was a happy, happily uniting jubilee, which we all shared, right? It doesn't matter what color you were, what party voter you were, what religion you were, or how old you were. Patriotism was a thing. It was something that we rejoiced in. We were all just freaking excited to be Americans 50 years ago. And in 50 years since, my brothers, a lot has changed. I was really looking forward to the 250th this year. I thought it's going to be another big red, white, and blue celebration of America, our history, our shared heritage, our patriotism. But it's been none of these things. It's been a flop, right? I mean, thus far, it's less than a month away. It's been a flop. In 2026, it is meaningless. And it looks like we're not doing anything. There's nothing going on, right? I see some cheap crap t-shirts at Walmart. I guess that's about it. There might be a social media post occasionally from this the politician or national park or something. Maybe some small town is doing something in a park. At least Reno is doing a 4th of July parade downtown. In Washington, D.C., we can't even have a concert and get that right. And there is no big thing planned. There's no celebration. There's no hullabaloo. There's no red, white, and blue products that I see from the companies, the manufacturers, the retailers, not at McDonald's or Pepsi or the beer cans like we saw in 76. None of them seemingly have anything special going on. We're all just looking the other way. And such has been the decline, almost the demise of patriotism in the United States. What a bunch of ungrateful bastards we are. The nation was blessed in a way that no other country on God's green earth could even begin to imagine. We were the heirs of the most enlightened and forward believers in individual liberty and self-government that the world has ever seen. We are living in the nation that taught the world what freedom was. We live in the nation that called to the world, join us in the cause of freedom. Let your people go. And we have always been at the forefront of individual liberty and self-rule. And yet here we are. We've been trained for a generation by our schools and our colleges and our politicians and our authors to hate our country, to see it as oppressive, to denounce the United States as the fountainhead, if you will, of almost all evil in this modern world. It's pretty bad stuff. It's embarrassing and it's shameful, and it shows how unappreciative we are. Maybe you and I, maybe we got some red, white, and blue in us, but it seems like now there aren't many of us. Of course, 50 years ago, you had a whole bunch of men in their 50s, maybe in their 60s, who fought World War II. Most everybody's grandfather fought it. And everybody's grandmother watched and waited and worried and worked through that. We were a nation which had not many years prior landed a man on the moon, winning the greatest technological competition known to man there. We were a nation in 1976 which had created unmatched wealth for ourselves and for other nations around the world. We held up the banner of liberty. And it had been embraced by people on every continent. In 1976, it was actually hard to be anti-American. In 2026, it's almost normal, accepted, expected that you will be anti-American. If you believe in God and you believe in your country, they call you a Christian nationalist now. And the whispered thing is, and often it's said out loud on Reddit or anywhere else online or MSNBC, that patriotism is just another way to say racism. And people who believe in the United States are people who believe in racism. That's the we have taught in our schools and universities the belief that the United States was founded not in some quest for liberty, but as some permanent structure to impose inferiority socially upon black people, and that the United States was formed as some exercise in white supremacy. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people who buy that bull crap, and they're all looking the other way contemptuously. As we mark 250 years, I don't think many of us are particularly worthy of this looming anniversary. And I can only hope, let us all hope, that something drastic changes in this country, or 50 years from now, I don't believe there will be a country to celebrate. And so if the world, if the popular culture, if the frickin' media, if the government isn't going to do anything about it, doesn't mean you and I have to ignore this 250th anniversary of the commencement of this God-inspired nation. I got to cut this short because we got to go to Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, and live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Listen, I'm not running for anything. People are texting about my... That wasn't a speech. It was just me blowing steam here. I'm John Potter, live and local. Here is somebody who is running and who I believe is worthy for the Congressional District 2 seat that Mark Amadei is vacating. It's Mr. George Forbush running for Congress. How's it going, George?
It's going good. Thank you very much. Was that an endorsement, by the way?
We'll work on it. No, listen, I already voted.
All right.
I think I don't want to just come out and say it, but I think you'd be happy with how I voted.
All right. Thank you.
Knowing you, you'll think, oh, I voted for three other people, because you actually compliment your competitors. You want to say thank you to, who is it, Fred Simon? You want to say thank you to Mike Smith?
Yeah. And
like your chums.
Well, you know what? Since we're on that subject right now, I'll just get there now, because we have worked very well on the campaign trail. We've helped each other. We've been there for each other. And Sherman Tylowski is also part of that group. We will text each other, say, hey, don't forget about this event, or I fixed your sign over here if it fell down, things of that nature. We share information. So I think that's what the Republican Party should be about, honestly. You're not going to see that type of behavior going on with the other two candidates that are allegedly in the lead.
What a decent, nice guy you are. And I already knew this because we've talked a couple of times before also. Literally, how is the campaign going? This is your first run, isn't it?
This is my first run.
And what surprised you most about running for office that you didn't expect?
It really surprised me how much of a popularity contest this is, more so than being about the issues to a certain degree. I've always been the type that I vote based on what I believe people will do for me, as opposed to how popular someone might be or how much money they might have.
I was going to say the big budget candidates.
Yes.
And you, I agree with you. I think people are swayed by how many stupid things they get in the mail or how many signs they see. And it has to go so much deeper than that. It has to be on the issues.
It has. And so my issues have always been about fuel, bringing more fuel to Nevada. It's been about doing more things for police officers, which is going to make the community safer. It's been about protecting public land so people can go out and walk their dog, ride their bike, go hunting, go fishing, things of that nature. And these other candidates aren't talking about any of that type of stuff. All they're doing is bashing each other. And what they have is this ability to really run a lot of TV ads, do mailers, which cost about 75 cents a piece. So when you get your mailbox and you have six of those mailers in there, that costs someone at least $6 if you want to round it up. And
wow.
I'm doing something completely different. I'm a big out-of-the-box thinker. And in order to combat that, I've been lucky enough where I have friends and family helping me. For example, my in-laws, Don and Pat, before they went on vacation, they walked, I don't know how many miles and hit how many homes, putting out my rat cards before they went on vacation months and months ago. And then I've been lucky enough where I've run into people, the Lundquist family, the Van Tassel family, that have been involved in politics. They're supporting me. I have piggybacked a lot of events like luncheons, church events, military events, things of that nature, where people are already going and I'm putting out my rat cards, my signs. And I got people out there that are also door knocking. Mm-hmm. And they're really getting the word out.
Because they believe in you.
Because they believe in me. And that has a better connection than a TV ad that comes on during your favorite show that you want to just fast forward through, or you want to mute. Or it's an ad that annoys you and you just get tired of hearing about it. And that's the feedback I'm getting from one of the candidates in particular.
You brought up fuel. It's amazing to me that there's only one other candidate that I know of who's talking about a solution to the high gas prices. You are almost one and alone on this. What is your plan to reduce gas prices?
Well, again, it is very simple. It's about using Sinclair Petroleum's plan to bring in a pipeline from Salt Lake to Northern Nevada and setting up a tank farm there so we can have the fuel that we need. And I know there's some candidates out there that are saying that we need to do a refinery. The research that I've done is we can't do a refinery here because that it involves water and in the process. And we, as you know, we don't have the water for those types of things. And we don't also don't put out the same amount of oil, or don't have the oil that other states have. So the pipeline makes the most sense to me.
How about the candidate? How do you overcome the big budgets that these other candidates have? Just talking to people. You've been knocking hundreds of doors. And
well, I do something that's quite different than, I almost don't want to say because it's been a secret, but at this point, I don't think they're going to be able to catch up. I go to a lot of the businesses. People aren't at home during the day. They're at work. So I go out and I capture them at work. So if I go to a hair salon and there's 15 hairstylists in there and they have customers in there, I'm capturing 30 people in a 5-minute stop.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. You gave away a secret, though. what are people telling you? Tell me about the voter feedback.
So the voter feedback is still the same. A lot of people haven't voted, but up until the last couple of days, now they are. Now we're running into people that are saying, I voted. And what's great for me is a lot of people are saying they voted for me, which I love. But a lot of people aren't saying anything about the two so-called front runners. They still don't know them, or they still don't like them. And so I think this is anybody's race. And what I really want to convey to the listeners right now is I understand what it's like to be a voter when you're looking at polls and you were thinking, I really like this guy, but I don't know if he can win because the polls say it's this guy or that guy. And you almost feel like you're throwing your vote away if you vote for the person that you really think is best. But what I'm going to tell the listeners right now, you have to stick with that and you have to vote for the person that you think is best and don't listen to the polls, because I don't think the polls on this race are as accurate as people say they are. I really don't. Based on the feedback I'm getting from people that I'm running into every single day. And it's not just me saying that. When I talk to Fred Simon and Mike Smith, they're talking to people and they're coming back with the same intel.
I'll say it again. If a certain front runner wins the Republican primary for CD2, one of two things is guaranteed. All of Nevada's congressional representatives will be Southern Nevadans, or they'll all be Democrats. District 1, it's Dina Titus, Vegas Democrat. District 3, Susie Lee, Vegas Democrat. District 4, Stephen Horsford, Vegas Democrat. And if a certain leader wins the Republican primary, it'll be four. without a congressional representative representing, in truth, Northern Nevada.
I don't even think he will, again, like I said last week, he might, if he were to win the primary, I don't think he'll win the general. So it goes, it's worse than what you're saying.
Well, we are going to have a guest later who believes that the Democrats could turn the district blue because of apathy. You look at the voter participation in the early voting a primary, it's pathetic. We didn't even hit 20% voters' ballots returned or combined with in-person voting.
That's true. And that's where, again, I think my strength is those issues, because it's the independent vote that matters. And I have had a lot of independent voters tell me that they would vote for me because they've had issues with the Democrats and the Republicans, but they like where I stand on the issues. And unlike the other two candidates, I don't have the baggage that they have. And I think that's what makes me one of the most viable candidates for this race is the independent vote.
And give us another important issue that is important to voters. You talked about fuel. Give us another one and what your stance is on that, George.
It's housing. Without a doubt, it's housing. And I have some solutions for the housing, whether it be the term of a loan, whether it be reducing or eliminating PMI, or expanding some benefits like the VA loan to first responders, so maybe they will have some other options and better choices to get secure loans, things of that nature, things that Congress actually does.
Where are you going to go today? So can people meet you?
Yeah, so today, later on, I'm going to be out in Lemon Valley. There's a car show going on. Again, I don't piggyback. I piggyback other events instead of creating my own because, look, people are going to go out there to see the cars. I'm just going to happen to be there.
I'm glad you told me about this. This sounds cool. Lemon Valley has a car show today.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Wayside Bar.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to be out there later today. And I'm a gearhead. I like cars.
Cool.
So I'll be out there talking to people and handing out my cards and answering questions.
What's your website?
It's forbushforcongress.com.
Forbushforcongress.com.
Yep.
Are you on social media?
Yeah, I'm mostly on Facebook, a little bit on Instagram.
But said you're not really into it, huh?
Facebook is the best platform that I'm running. Yeah,
Answer people's comments?
Yeah, I try to. And I honestly prefer people email me direct. They can email me at forbush2026@yahoo.com, or they can even call me at 775-335-5830. Phone calls, texts are always answered eventually, depending on what I'm doing, what I got going on.
Forbush2026@yahoo.com.
Yes.
All right. Forbush, Forebush. George, good to see you again.
Thank you. No E. It's Forbush. Like, remember, like George Forbush.
Oh, you're right. I'm looking at it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent, George.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the listeners. And
right. Well, I hope
it's been a very pleasant experience.
I hope after Tuesday you'll come on and you'll talk about what you want to do when you get into office. I would love to have that conversation.
Me too.
All right, George. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1047.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home front have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. the free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. I have to bring, I am not the biggest Jeff Bezos fan. One I think is rocket ship, looks dorky. I think it's a giant male. You know, I believe he probably himself is. Well, anyway, I think his single-handed destruction of retail in America has not been a good thing. I don't know that everybody who works for Amazon is treated in the best of fashions. I wonder if his new wife could occasionally wear a shirt. You know, I have issues. I apologize, ma'am. No offense intended. However, there's something he said. I just heard this interview with him that got me thinking. He gave Jeff Bezos gave an interview, and one point he made to his credit, something I believe in. Jeff Bezos said that what he does as a businessman at his for-profit company is dramatically better for society than anything he does as a philanthropist, giving away a lot of money. And I believe that. That's not a diss from me on philanthropy. It's my assertion that I believe starting a business, prospering a business, creating jobs for people engaging in the private sector free economy and wrapping your arms around capitalism and working it, I believe that's a tremendous blessing to society. We had our own great business leaders in Nevada who were incredible charity givers. E.L. Cord, he made his fortune in the car industry. He had a ranch in Lovelock. He put Channel 4 on the air in Reno. He started KCRL, later became KRNV-TV and radio in the 1950s and operated it for, I think, more than 25 or so years. And then his wife took it over after he died. E.L. Cord died in 1974, and his foundation is still giving money away. William Pennington owned Nevada casinos. He opened Circus Circus in Reno in 1978, and his foundation is still giving money away today. And I've said many times over the years, John Esquaga, who owned the Sparks Nugget, was a great guy, and the amount of good that he did with his giving was wonderful. There are so many institutions of good which bear their names across this community and across the country, and you almost can't begin to comprehend it. You know, that being true, I would still say that the most positively impactful thing that E.L. Cord and William Pennington and John Esquaga did was not their philanthropy, but their for-profit business work. And I believe their development of their business has been of even greater worth to our society. The benefit which has come to the customers, right, and helping their business to prosper and work well, but the tens of thousands of jobs that these people created, supporting your family, the taxes that have been collected, I believe that's huge. And I believe that business people are heroes. You know, I'm not kissing up to the boss, but we give plaques to this, you know, nonprofit and this and that. That's all fine. But who butters the bread? Who makes the world go round? It is our business people. And I know that's a terribly, terribly unpopular opinion now, but it's 100% true. At any rate, so I agree with Mr. Bezos when he says that his for-profit companies have been greater contributions to the world than have been his philanthropic contributions. And I agree with that principle. And here's another one, though, from Mr. Bezos, with which I disagree. He says, looking at the tax system in America, He says people in the bottom 50% of earners contribute only 3% of the taxes collected in this country, and so that we should just waive that. I mean, they don't pay anything, hardly anything anyway. So if you're in the bottom half of earners in this country, you don't have to pay taxes at all. And let the top half, he says, pay all the taxes. And another extremely unpopular opinion, it's thinking like that that has almost killed our country. We have a much greater situation where we reward failure and we punish success. If you fail at supporting yourself, if you fail at providing for your kids, and if you fail at getting a place to live, if you fail at paying your heat bill or anything, we will reward you by giving to you what you should have earned for yourself. It's astounding. And how do we pay for that? Well, by punishing people who succeed. If you say, like went to school and studied honestly, earnestly studied something for which there was a market demand, that would gain you gainful employment. And you, upon graduation, you go and find and engage that gainful employment. Or if you start a business, get a van, get some tools, be a heating cooling guy, become a plumber, whatever. Be an architect, a doctor, whatever you can do. And if you invest in that effort and the time to succeed, well, then we're going to kick the hell out of you. That's our country. We're going to tax you to death. The more successful you become, the greater the rate at which we're going to tax you. We're going to punish you for being successful, you know. And in our social commentary, we will condemn you. We'll look down our nose at you. Mamdami and AOC will say bad things about you. That's where we are. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk Fox.